What about just diet? Because I drink a lot of diet soda.
I don't, because that gives me a headache.
Oh, something in it?
The phenylalanine. You didn't think I was going to have that word ready, did you?
Phenylalanine?
Look at any bottle of diet soda, and it'll have in bold print next to the ingredients contains phenylalanine.
Okay.
It constricts the blood vessels in your head. It gives you a crazy headache and it shuts down parts of your body. It's a
So,
neurotoxin.
oh.
That's what fake sugar is. It's all neurotoxin. It's tricking you into thinking it's sweet when it provides no positive value.
Wait. Could you elaborate on that? Or is that basically
That's it. It's
like
the reason it works is because it's something that tricks your brain into thinking it's something else.
it makes your brain, well, because, all right, let me, I understand what I'm about to say
Yeah.
is a similar thing, but I understand, but it makes sense to me. So, in fact, I'm positive that you might have even told me this factoid. I'm sure that you know it.
Believable fact.
Coffee doesn't make you more awake. It shuts down the part of your brain that makes you feel tired.
Caffeine does that, yes.
Okay, caffeine, right.
Yeah. It blocks the receptors that would take on the, oh, what is it called? It's
So,
like, go ahead.
does phenylalanine? Does phenylalanine? Can we call it PHY or something?
No.
Does phenylalanine? Lalanine?
Phenylalanine.
Phenylalanine. Does phenylalanine block your receptors to bitterness or something? Like, is it doing something else? Or does it just literally make your brain think about sweet things?
What did
It's
I
an
come
amino
back
acid
on?
that's the building block.
Phenylalanine.
Phenylalanine. Yeah,
Phenylalanine.
I heard phenylalanine. I'm wondering how we got on discussing.
Oh, because I was talking about how if I don't, if like I was, he asked how I was feeling. I said I thought I was going to throw up. And he
Oh.
asked what's causing it. And I said it's probably because I had some Mountain Dew a little while ago. And then I let him know that no matter, if I don't have like the zero sugar one, like a Coke Zero or Pepsi or Mountain Dew Zero,
Yeah.
I immediately feel like I'm going to like retch. Well, within several hours, I'm going to feel like I feel like garbage since I sat down here. And if whatever's in the sugar, then he asked me, does diet soda do that to you too? And I said, I don't drink it because it has phenylalanine.
Okay, there we go. Cool.
There we go.
There are some risks associated with phenylalanine, nerve damage.
Man, I drink it all day. Is it, if it's in all diet soda, I drink it. That's my,
Hold on.
if I'm
Hold on.
not
This might
drinking water,
answer
that's
a
what I'm
lot of
drinking.
questions here. How much phenylalanine is in Diet Coke? Whoa. Okay. That's a lot. One can is 104 milligrams. And if you have more than 5,000 milligrams a day, it'll cause nerve damage.
5,000, huh? Yo, Thrash.
Well, howdy, gang.
Oh, what's up,
Hey.
buddy?
Hey, what up, P? How you doing, bud?
I'm just chilling, killing. Very, very stoned right now.
Awesome.
Dude.
I'm extremely high.
Well, oh, here's to circle back with Toronto. The reason I'm saying this is because I went the, saying all those things about budtenders being liars, or just essentially fucking with everyone else, is that I went in and I was like, hey, I want to get a new cartridge.
Okay.
I want something that's gonna be. I don't want to be jittery, but I want to be awake. I want to feel good. I want to like, I don't want to have the slow down one. I want to have the
Yeah, you
just.
want a sativa base that's going to be THC offset with some CBD. Yeah.
There you go. You understand? So the person gave me the banana kush,
No.
which is none of those things,
Sorry,
but
I
it
didn't hear
is
what did they give you?
banana kush.
That is so not one of those
That
things.
is
I
so
know, but
indica.
this is the least indica I've ever had.
Yeah.
They described it.
Really?
I'm not gonna lie to you here. Here's the words they used: a mellow, energetic indica, perfect. Perfect for painting or playing the acoustic guitar.
Did you play the acoustic guitar?
It's right there. I play it a lot.
You played it while smoking Banana Kush, vaping it?
What I also did, this was the best one. I did this for a while. And I just kept telling people I was a giant.
Ah.
Fun.
I've missed the thing.
I'm terrible at playing this.
Oh.
I gotta get the ukulele out. I don't know where any of my... I was down to one plectrum. And for the past year, it's been living inside... Probably 3 years, it's been living inside of my pot grinder so that I can scoop.
Oh, the keef?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and just or just the ground pot, like a little.
Oh, I really should just buy a better grinder so I can store my keef until like I actually need it.
Yeah, it's honestly it's a profoundly useful and
I just got a two-piece right now, and I could have gotten a three or even a five-piece for my birthday, but like I didn't want people spending $80 and I just bought a $15 one like 2 weeks earlier, you know?
Our friend goes around with one and he'll take out his nice looking fancy grinder and he'll hand it to you and he'll always say, that's a $100 weed grinder.
Is that Ed?
That's Ed.
Oh, that's Ed? Oh my God, I can't wait to break it.
Just so you know, that's a $100 weed grinder.
He's very impressed with himself.
Very expensive, Douglas.
Like, does he not know how to use scissors?
Scissors get sticky and gross, though. The grinder, I don't know, I like it better.
I just cleaned mine with rubbing alcohol and a scalpel the other day because I couldn't deal with it anymore.
Have you heard of Orange Chronic?
Is that like Banana Kush?
No, it's a product that you use for cleaning bongs, pipes, and other marijuana-based products.
No, I'm from the 90s. We use rubbing alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Alcohol, kosher salt.
I will say this, though. I've got a pipe that's like, I think it's about 3 or 4 years old. Never cleaned it. And I picked up some of this, like the Orange Chronic, and within, 20 minutes, it looked like brand new.
Mm. No way.
Yeah, that's no, it's insanely good. I was really impressed with the actual, like, ability of the stuff.
I'm still shocked that I can drive in somewhere legally and buy weed, okay?
So, like, it's driving, so awesome. It's like, fucking insane.
It's great.
It's so cool.
I just
cool.
love my job, man.
Oh my God.
I cannot express how much I love that this is my actual job.
Congratulations, everybody.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got, in the last week and a half, I'm nowhere to lie, I've gotten about 4 grams of flour to, like, the samples to come home and try for free at work.
That's so hot.
They had five distillate and keef infused pre-rolls handed to the store yesterday by a vendor as a sample for the staff, and we have three people who work there.
Oh, dude. Lucky.
So, like, my job's amazing. I fucking love this shit so much.
Man,
I'm in a much better mood from the last time we talked.
I think the last time I talked to you, I was still dealing with, like, I was between jobs and just really stressed out, and it was just bullshit.
Yeah, it was not a good time, but I'm glad you're doing better.
Well, I mean, we just banned a guy who was hitting on me at work, so, like, I've got a lot of
positive.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, yeah,
I'm
sexual harassment,
that.
Dude. I'm
gonna say people were hitting on me.
He was, like, crossing boundaries. Like, I'm like, dude, you need to stop, and you made threats to me kind of thing.
No, oh.
Yeah, he straight up was like, no, I'm not stopping. I'm going to double down if there's nobody in the store. And then he made comments.
Well, so as he says no one's in the store, that's when you just tase him.
I don't have conceal and carry up here. It's Canada.
Oh, yeah. That's
you can't tase a guy in Canada?
We don't have tasers.
You grab electrical tape and you throw that in the mud when you're done. If it doesn't work, they can't charge you. I thought it was a paperweight officer. I was trying to unlock my car. It's America. It's North America. Dave, before I go, I've been meaning to tell you something for 3 days now.
Cool.
2 days now.
Wow, suspense.
I was very excited. I was feeling really good. Was it yesterday? Whatever. 2 days ago, let's say. I was feeling really good. I was dropping something off at the music venue. The Banana Kush was treating me right. I had a good music plan. I went to see Mike and everything. Like, everyone was just in a good mood around me, so no one was being pissed off by anything. And I thought about something you've said before about being on the path of the beam.
Yeah.
And I was standing in Mike's backyard waiting for him to come outside. I looked up and I saw a fragment, like in the whole arc of 90 degrees of horizon to right above me, I saw a fragment of a rainbow.
Okay.
And then I looked up and I saw another one. I'm like, oh, I was in a line.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be on the beam.
Yeah, awesome. Good. I'm glad you're on the path of the beam.
Yes.
A thousand points of light.
What's that?
I said 1,000 points of light. Nothing. It's stupid old SNL bit with, what was it, Dana Carvey as Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Yeah. Stay the course.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
I'm a little confused. I'm reading this Gulf War about the Gulf War, and I'm on chapter 3 and it says mission accomplished. I have 1,200 more pages to go. All right.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Your Star Trek. I gotta go. Finished. Yep, that was my cue. I'm gonna go watch some Rings of Power with this one.
Awesome. Is season 2 out yet?
Hey, yes.
Enjoy.
By the way, tomorrow's International Hobbit Day.
Oh, what are we supposed to grow beards on our feet?
No, they don't. Okay. There's nothing in the books about them having hairy toes.
In The Hobbit, I swear that yes, there is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is. It's one of the very few things I clearly remember from The Hobbit.
Nope.
I can't believe I don't have a copy of it.
You've just given me a reason to try and get like an actual.
I will be uncomfortable. Let's see if I can get it from the library.
I am going to reread
it. Go find it, you fucking furry ass toes.
Listen, you all have till tomorrow. Read The Hobbit.
Okay.
I am not going to finish The Hobbit overnight, but I work.
Why not? It's a book for fifth graders.
Yes, and I work at 8:45 in the friggin' morning.
Look, Lila brought me the smallest copy of The Hobbit that I have.
Well, you asked for a copy of The Hobbit. I got you a copy of The Hobbit.
Okay. Good job, Lila.
No one is complaining about you getting a copy of The Hobbit.
I'm borrowing it right fucking now. Excuse my language, by the way.
I got all the way to the third chapter in The Two Towers in 2 months.
She's cool. Way faster than me.
The Two Towers is dense.
Yeah, I struggle with that one.
It's the Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah,
it really is.
And you've read The Fellowship of the Ring, Leah?
Close the door for
that's.
It took me ages.
There are a lot of words in that book.
Yeah, and it took me ages to get through the Council of Elrond.
That was one of the hardest parts. That and Tom Bombadil I found were brutal.
Oh my god, he's in the TV show.
Yeah, my eyes cross when I read the Tom Bombadil stuff.
Oh, really? Really? Yes. I get it. What was the other thing that was mentioned about going to sleep? Oh, the Council of Elrond. That I agree with. I don't know. I just like real high fairy tale kind of stuff going on.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Hold on. In the book, where'd it go? Come on. Thanks, Reddit. Got real Rule 34 here.
So, fun fact, apparently The Hobbit itself is only 95,000 words and the Lord of the Rings books are 455,000 words.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. It's a short book. But no. I don't know. I'm seeing something that's a quote that says they wear no shoes because their feet grow natural leathery soles and thick warm brown hair like stuff on their heads.
Yeah, that's the one.
What was the second part? Where'd you get that from?
This is from an article on fucking comic books. It doesn't link the page or anything, unfortunately. That's what I'm saying is I want the page number. I want the quote. I can't find that.
Here's one from Angel Fire.
Hey! All right, I have borrowed the book from the library. This is not the internet. This is a library app. I have the book.
Where are you at? Listen to me. Chapter.
Listen to me. It is the second page.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's right away.
Wear no shoes because their feet grow naturally leathery soles and thick warm brown hair like the stuff on their heads. That is the second page of the book.
All right.
I'm sorry that became such
Someone on Reddit says, yeah, exactly. I found a Reddit post that's very highly upvoted where somebody is like, it never says that they have hair on their feet. And everyone's like, really? And then so there's someone way down in the comments, someone is like, no, this is bullshit. Okay.
I definitely pictured the, like, whatever, the animated Bass something.
Yeah, I've got my physical copy of it. It's the whole big, paragraph.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mother of our particular hobbit, what is a hobbit, is the starting of that paragraph.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Dave, I might need you to go to, you're real dark and I can't read in the dark.
Well, before we go completely hobbit rabbit hole. Before it gets too late, we should watch Star Trek. So because
I'm gonna go anyway because I gotta watch Rings of Power so she can get to sleep.
Awesome. Is the episode out now? Does it drop on Fridays?
Wednesdays.
Oh wow. Okay.
It drops on Wednesday. It airs on Wednesday, sir.
Dave, we can do that instead of one on movie nights after we get through Three Body Problem. I've got it on Prime.
Oh well, I've been watching it on my own. So if you want to watch it together. Sure.
I've also got files I can just send you, so you don't have to stream and then stream again.
Oh,
I mean, okay. I've got Prime Access all the time. I can just stream whenever, right?
I'll watch that with you.
Okay, yeah. If you want to do it as a thing, absolutely. Because
I do.
I'm about to publish a list of TV shows people have suggested we watch. So,
okay. Good night, sirs and ma'ams.
Yo, thanks for saying hi, man. Good night. Say hi to all of your family.
Okay.
I mean, you know, as
they're actually outside. You got like crickets going or something, eh?
Oh yeah, I'm outside. I'm smoking a cigarette.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, no, it sounds lovely.
What's going on, everybody?
I am jealous.
Yeah, it's pretty nice tonight.
Have any of you seen The Devil in the Dark?
No.
Oh yeah.
I definitely saw this one as a young person.
Yeah, me too.
I might have, but I don't remember it, you know?
Yeah, I remember that it is a sulfur... No, it might not be a sulfur-based life form, but it's non-carbon-based blob monster in the dark.
Is this the rock monster that Spock mind melds with, right?
Yes, rock monster, Spock mind meld, yeah.
It's like a rock monster made out of lava that spits acid.
Yeah.
The only thing I've got on here is that, like, of note, is this apparently the first time McCoy says, I'm a doctor, not a blah, blah, blah.
Cool.
Well, I gotta grab my Star Trek compendium.
Oh, sure.
Hopefully it'll tell us what the blob monster was made out of.
Cool.
It should say online.
Well, what? In addition to that, what facts do you have about this episode, Chris?
Oh, I was just looking up the monster to find the type.
Oh, you can do that. You can do that first if you like. Go ahead.
I think it's traditional. We should get the details.
Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be details.
Yeah.
I think it's silicone from the very quickest of glances.
Silicone.
Yeah, that silicone based.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, very, very quickest of glances at the Wikipedia page for this episode appears to be silicone.
No, when I say what the monster is made out of, I mean like
what the thing, the actual prop,
the special effect, the prop.
Yeah, I have no answer for that.
He's got the what year was that book you're holding published?
I don't know, sometime in the 80s, early 80s.
1980s Star Trek compendium.
Oh man, I actually had that at one point.
Yeah, it has all
that
these like
familiar.
Has all these like details about the episodes
and the production and stuff.
Oh no, I didn't. That was at the library. I was going to steal it from them. That's what it is.
My mom got this at some point. I'm sure my mom is a huge Trekkie. I don't know how much of the modern Trek she's watched. I think she's watched a bunch of it actually. Yeah, this is from 1981. I would have been like 3 years old.
I was
old.
Not born.
Yeah.
That book is 4 years older than me.
I definitely didn't buy it myself, so.
As for details, quick rundown. If we're recording, just confirming.
Yes, please.
Cool. So we're going into season one, episode 25, called The Devil in the Dark, directed by Joseph Pevney, who he did Return of the Archons, so we like him.
Oh,
we
cool.
like his stuff. And Gino Kuhn is the writer.
The Archons was awesome.
Well, Gino L. Kuhn was also the writer for this one, so the couple of times that Gino L. Kuhn's come up so far, we've generally liked it. They wrote on what's called The Taste of Armageddon and Space Seed.
good one.
So yeah, we've got a good way into this one.
I recall liking this a lot.
I all I can really remember is the mind meld.
Yeah, Gino. The combination of Gene L. Kuhn and Joseph Pevney also did Arena, looks like. Which was honestly pretty silly, but hey.
No, but they
were responsible for a lot of they're responsible for a lot of classics. The Gorm canon.
The episode's original air date was March 9th of 1967. And IMDb rates it high as well at an 8.3 out of 10.
Thank you.
No worries.
Awesome. I mostly remember just thinking it was awesome that there was a lava rock blob monster.
I just thought it was interesting for them to examine, like, this whole thing, but from, like, with a different type of alien. Like, not aliens. All aliens are going to be the same as us, you know?
Yeah, this is a super alien form of life.
Yeah, well, super weird alien.
It's also, I think, one of the few times in Star Trek from day one to now, like all of Trek, that they've actually done something that's not just a human with stuff glued on their face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's only maybe, what, like 5-10 monsters, like aliens that I can think of like that? Like, yeah. It's not many.
So the monster, the Horta, as the alien is called,
that's what it is,
was actually originally made for the final episode of The Outer Limits called The Probe. Ooh. And it was a giant amoeba in that episode.
Yeah. I thought The Outer Limits was from the 80s and 90s with Jerry O'Connell.
There's four different iterations.
That was the remake of The Outer Limits. The original Outer Limits was also a 60s show.
Oh, I've never heard of that one. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, it was out like around the same time as Star Trek, I guess. I guess this ended and Star Trek started around the same time, it looks like. So this is a reused costume that I guess they repainted it because it doesn't look much like an amoeba.
I knew these guys were just stealing props from every other set that was around them.
That's, you know.
Yeah. They did a good job. That's not an admonishment.
Yeah. You work with what you got, man. And I mean, I think the story in the compendium is that Gene L. Kuhn saw the costume and decided to write an episode around using that costume, basically.
Cool. Awesome. That's really, yeah, great. Good job, then. All right, well, thank you all for being here. Anything else before we begin, or shall we go?
Let's
go forth. Let's go where no man has gone before.
Yeah, let's do that. Awesome. You doing? Welcome to the Least Ready Room. Here we are. Let's go. Great to be here. Glad you're here. This is a podcast where Dave and Chris, I'm Dave, plan to watch every piece of Star Trek media from then until now. And by the time we're at now, which will be my future, we will probably have more. They will have made more Star Trek. So we'll be doing this forever. My friend Saint is usually here, and Weebs. And there's a whole other bunch of people. I feel like Saint and Weebs specifically should be mentioned other than me and Chris, because me and Chris definitely have watched every episode so far. Saint and Weebs have been here for most of them, and Saint is almost always here. Me and him started podcasting like 2 years ago, and he's usually around, which is awesome. Hey, Saint, what's up? Thanks for being here. And Weebs and Chris and everyone else who was in the intro, Pete and Thrash as well, are sometimes on this. And you know what, every time I gotta, yeah. that's the intro. I have trouble. I feel like once I mention a second tier of participants, then I feel like I have to continue. Someday maybe there won't be all kinds of noises going on. Someday maybe I'll figure out that I shouldn't eat a bag of pretzels every Friday night while I'm high and recording this podcast. But anyway, this is a Tuesday. This will probably come out on Tuesday. And now that I'm thinking about it, that might be the day this comes out. I was going to say this might start coming out on Wednesdays. And you know what? Who cares? Because every time we do this intro, I talk about who's here, how I feel about listing the names of everyone every time, and then I talk about how I don't know what day this podcast comes out. So I think maybe it will be Tuesday, because I was thinking it might be Wednesday, but I might do something else on Wednesdays. My whole schedule is falling apart around me. I'm incredibly busy right now. There's so much stuff going on and so much stuff I gotta do. I got a lot done today. Today was very productive, and here I am doing this now. But I mean, that's good. We'll get it out. We'll get things going. And I'm just, yeah, I've been fluxumed and overwhelmed and flabbergasted. And I think this podcast caught... I think this one might come out on Tuesdays now, which is what today is. So that's great. Maybe that'll be... I'm going to re-record all of this? Question mark? Maybe I won't. I liked how I got going at the beginning. I thought I had a good energy going on. But then I always start realizing that I'm talking to myself about what my plans are. And not knowing. Anyway, this is the Least Ready Room. We're going to talk about the Horda.
Also, I've got some article being like, hey, a new cave monster is making us think like a back to the Horda. And then it's the Graflax, which is, you know, like an angelfish with legs.
Oh, I want to look up like something like, was a Horda ever in the Federation?
That's a good question. Yeah, this is a planet that the Cerritos should go and visit. This is my favorite episode. This is the favorite one we've seen so far. This might be my favorite episode.
Beating out Enemy Within, eh?
Which one?
Was it Enemy Within? The one with the dog.
Oh, the little dog. Yeah, I mean...
Carbonite Maneuver, that's what I'm thinking of. Sorry.
No, the little dog is in the Enemy Within, where Kirk turns into Mean Kirk.
Okay.
And they know that it happened because the little dog turns into a mean little dog. And it's a unicorn dog. Yeah, the excellent little dog. Like, really, the dog actor did an incredible job. Jesus Christ, knock it off with the pretzels.
Okay, so apparently there's a bunch of Horta who, like, can be in Starfleet in, like, some novels and comic books, but... they must be regularly spray-coated with Teflon since oxygen-based atmospheres are highly caustic to silicon-based life forms. Oh, man.
Gotta spray him down. Gotta coat him with silicon.
In the pocket TNG novel Dyson Sphere, it is revealed that Starfleet has starships crewed entirely by Horta. These ships are of standard design with nearly all amenities removed and are filled with solid stone. What?
What?
I really want to see that.
That doesn't even make sense.
You filled the ship with stone.
Are you kidding me?
How do they...
How does it fly?
How do they work on the warp core and, like, engineering?
How do you have a warp core?
If it's made out of stone. Just fill the ship with stone and they'll figure it out.
Oh my God! Stone ship in
this is all in the section that says like apocrypha on Memory Alpha.
Sure.
So they've only showed up in novels and comic books. They have never shown up in any subsequent Star Trek episodes. It appears.
Well, there's always season 5.
Mm-hmm.
We should rewatch. Like all of Lower Decks again.
I think I might do that tonight myself too. Yeah.
note here that I'm reading on Memory Alpha says 2 days before the filming of the Federation Council scenes in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, it was requested that one of the aliens present in the setting be a Horta ambassador. As the notice of the request was given so soon before the scenes were shot, however, the creation of a Horta in time for filming was an impossibility.
Man, that would have been an awesome appearance.
I do see also the special effects of the Horta coming out of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Was one of the things that was improved for the remaster.
Okay, that makes sense.
So when you noted that, I was like, oh, this is a really good effect for the 60s. That's because it's not the effect.
It wasn't from the 60s. Okay.
It's not the effect from the 60s. I'm not sure what it looks like. I think I remember it being cool. It's like the tunnel just kind of like turns red. The wall kind of turns red and like disappears and the Horta comes out. I remember being blown away by it when I was a little kid, being like, it's the fucking lava monster. It's not really made out of lava. But that's what I always, the impression of what it looks like. With like the sort of like red and orange like bands and like the darker plates on it.
It sure looks like a lava monster.
It really does.
It looks like a lava monster that spits acid. And obviously it's not actually made out of lava because Spock and McCoy go ahead and
touch it. Dude, McCoy gets elbow deep in that thing.
Elbow deep, yeah. I mean, he's a doctor. He's like, that's probably actually like the least gross thing he's ever been elbow deep in.
Ew.
He's like, it's just rock.
Yeah, he's once. Just slopping concrete on the thing.
Damn it, Jim. I guess I am a bricklayer today.
Yeah, and man, boy, that's a good first use of that.
Yeah.
What will become a classic trope. I love it when the doctor on Voyager starts saying that shit.
Yeah, that was a really good callback.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a rating they want to throw on the paper?
It's 10 for me. This is my favorite. I loved this one when I was, seriously, I must have been 5 when I saw this, and I was riveted, and I love this episode.
Yeah, I'll give this one a 10, too. This is a perfect episode. I don't see anything wrong with it, except for maybe Spock, like, not letting go of the Horta
forever. Writing goth poetry.
Exactly. Sadness. All this despair. Everyone's dead.
Eternity ends. It's incredible. Honestly incredible.
She's real serious about it. She's like, my whole race has just died. I've failed. The bird. And then meanwhile, McCoy's like, no, it's okay. I got you.
Yeah. 10 for me too. Solid fucking episode. I'm there for that. I'm all in for that. That was fucking solid.
You know, I love blobs.
Yeah. And it's a very imaginative idea. That's one of the great parts about it too. As like a sci-fi show, it's like, here is a very sci-fi kind of idea: silicon-based life form that eats through rock like it's made out of air, and leaves behind these tunnels. And every 50,000 years, the whole race dies and leaves behind one survivor.
That's neat.
And like a million eggs.
Cool.
And then there. After who knows how long, hundreds or thousands of years, the eggs hatch.
You know, I was actually going to ask, like, so, like, I feel like that's, like, a fairly common trope in, like, later sci-fi is that, like, you know, well, we found this thing. We don't know what it is, but there's a monster that's trying to kill us, and it's angry.
Yeah. And, oh, shit, you know, eventually we got its eggs.
Yeah. How often has that trope – how often was that trope used prior to that? Because, like, I heard that not trope, but like that story device, plot device. Like, I feel like I've seen that like a million times over, like in like late 80s, early 90s TV.
In like kids' cartoons. Just it was a classic plot line.
This is probably where it came from. I mean, like I was saying, as like that little factoid, like the costume was originally made for the Outer Limits. And I can definitely see something like that plot line also being in like the original old Outer Limits or Twilight Zone or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that original of an idea, but it's you know, this is a super well done version of it, and definitely mm-hmm. I think one of the ways this sort of like idea of this, you know,
got into the mass,
yeah,
collection of weird ideas into the pool.
These weird things that we don't know are babies or eggs or
poplars.
Poplars.
Yeah, I was about to say that was that. Yeah. I immediately thought of poplars.
Futurama. Yeah. Futurama, exactly.
Did we get a Chris? Do you? What is your rating? And also, if Atheist Man and Weaves are here,
I'm giving it a 9.
Nice.
It's up there. It's not my favorite. Okay. But I do like it a lot. Like, it's a solid episode.
Very. Atheist and Weaves may not be here right now.
They might not be.
Okay. I'll say 7.
Cool. 7 from Weaves. Awesome. I really like this one, Weaves.
Yeah.
No comments.
How's it going, Weaves?
Pain.
It's fine. I'm busy.
Good to be fine. Kind of all right to be busy.
Yeah. Good to have a purpose.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Good to hear.
Like birthing an entire race after hundreds of years in the dark or something.
To make sure eternity continues.
The great cycle of every 50,000 years.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know how much I even have to say. I mean, I think it's... I remember watching this as a kid and just loving it. Just the initial mystery of it. I love that repeated kill scene where you see it overtake a guy. It's almost like a Resident Evil death scene. The way that you see it like 5 times, the thing like grabbing dudes. And it's like the cutscene that plays when you die.
Yeah, it's from the point of view of the monster.
Right, yeah. I love dudes' silhouettes burned into the floor by the acid alien monster. Like, this is all of my shit. This is the kind of blob I like. It's doing the right kind of blob things. I love sympathy with the monster stuff. I love acid melting people. I love radiation.
I love how this thing is super intelligent, and as soon as Spock mind melds, it gains the ability to speak English.
Yeah.
Or not speak English. Write English.
The burn English words into the rock.
I wish it had done a little more of that. I would have liked to see some more weird sentences from it.
It would have been like Charlotte's Web.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that would be a real funny.
Oh my god, that's the Lower Decks concept.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Reading a child a book about a Horta carving words into the rock on a farm. For a pig.
Some Horta.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to say about it either. Like, it's just a fun
little episode. Yeah, no, I love it. I appreciate it.
But the alien is a very unique creature, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it starts out as one of those standard... It's a pretty standard, like, Monster of the Week kind of episode.
Really. Yeah, but I enjoy that, and that's out of Star Trek, right? So
yeah, exactly, and well, because it's Star Trek and not like you know a show where they like kill the monster. They you know it's they're like kill the monster.
We're wait, scientists.
Talk to the monster.
Talk to the monsters. If only we could talk to these monsters.
Wait, we can.
We got Spock, and it thinks Spock. His ears are sexy.
Yeah.
That was kind of a weird tidbit at the end.
Spock, you're becoming more human than you know you think you are. I forget what the line was, but
like more human every day.
Yeah, you're becoming more human every day, and he's like, I don't have to stand here and be insulted.
I that's what I was gonna say. It was like that was the most Spock way of saying I'm not gonna sit here and take your shit. Fuck you.
He is half human. It's a little offensive that he's offended at being called.
Too funny. Well,
yeah, I would love to hear anything else anyone wants to say, but I do. Let me say thank you, everyone, for being here tonight and hanging out.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, real soon I'm going to post a list of the things I want to be watching in October. Yeah.
I don't want a snack.
Dude, I've been eating these fucking pretzels this whole time, and like I can't stop. I'm gonna. It's like.
Because you smoke two bowls.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I should not have a whole bag of pretzels next to me. It's just not.
My neighbor gave me like a zip of like shake and trim that he, for some reason, doesn't know that you can make butters and oils and crap like that with it. So like I've been like taking like what looks to me to be like almost like an eater's worth of like of this shaky stuff and throwing it in with a stick of butter. It's fantastic, and I sous vide it, and then I've been making cookies off of that.
Oh man, that's what you do. Yeah. All right. So our question of the week was a very simple one: what or who is your favorite blob? Grav responded first with a picture of the classic blob fish. Locke says Shoggoths, most assuredly. Saint says Alex Mercer from the video game Prototype. Yeah, who is kind of a Shoggoth. Raven says, I feel like as a kid I would know more blobs. Now I'm drawing a blank, so I'm voting Elastiwoman. He posted a GIF that's from that, who is that George of the Jungle guy? That DC TV show that has George of the Jungle in it. But I thought if someone had said Elastawoman to me, I would have pictured the lady from The Incredibles. Maybe that's not what she's... Maybe she's Elastigirl. Anyway, maybe I'll find out. I was supposed to look up every time... Not every time, but a lot of times I do these questions. I'm like, I should have looked this stuff up before I started recording. But you know what? The episode is almost done. It's a late one today. It's been a long day, like I said, and it's Tuesday. Irrelevant, but kind of cool because I do think that this is going to come out on Tuesdays. So look, I'm on schedule. Anyway, Will D, hey, nice to hear from you. Will D says SCP-9999, and that one I will look up later. I can't believe I didn't. Weeb says Norm MacDonald, of course, plays the blob whose name I don't recall, from the Orville. Weaves adds, RIP in peace. And yeah, it's worth mentioning that my favorite blob is the blob from The Blob 1988. We just watched that, and that'll be coming up. We'll be talking about that on season 3 of Maybe We'll Talk, my other podcast. So thank you for listening to The Least Ready Room. Thank you for hanging out with me for a little while. All of my stuff can be found on koyadk.tv. You can find my other podcasts and things and other crap that I'm doing. And yeah, you can also find a link to our Discord. You can come and talk to us and watch Star Trek and answer question of the week. Now I have the hiccups. So it's over. This episode is over. Thank you. Sorry it was such a sloppy one. You're so agreeable that I can put out a sloppy podcast.